Now I ask your prayers and your attention for a little while. Last Sunday morning had a topic, subject of ministry of women. I'd like to rehearse a little bit of what was said then because I have a sequel to it this morning. Spoke quite a bit about the book of Ruth last Sunday morning. The book of Ruth and others like it are special in the Bible because they are told entirely from a woman's point of view. The experiences of Ruth, Naomi, Boaz took place during the time of the judges. The book of Judges, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, are full of stories of combat, of political dealings, of war, of David being pursued by Saul. Ruth is so different from that, it's almost hard to visualize it took place in the same era, but they did. It's almost like that. It's a way of saying that even while all the turbulent affairs of a busy world are going on around us, there are still little places here and there where people live out their lives, often quietly, under the blessing of the Lord. And the book of Ruth is a glimpse into some of the things that happened there. It begins with sorrow, and it ends with great blessing. It ends with joy. And that's an example to us. It's inspiring to us, certainly inspiring to me. Following the Lord pays off. Scripture said, though weeping endure for the night, joy cometh with the morning. And that's true. It was true for Ruth, and it'll be true for you and me if we follow on to serve the Lord. And a man's world is a world of physical things. Women are different. God made men to be strong and women to be beautiful. God made women to be protected. He gave them emotions, feelings, maybe perceptions is a better word, that men don't have the same way. It adds so much to life. But I want to talk about the other side of that a little bit this morning, of how the old devil will work to use those things to hurt if he can. The Lord gave me a scripture this morning in the 31st chapter of the book of Proverbs. That is a story of a virtuous woman and its example. God bless us to have virtuous women in our midst. And any community is advantaged to have women who fulfill the things that are in the 31st chapter of Proverbs. But in particular, I'm thinking of the 26th verse. I'll just read that one verse and take it out of all the others, having expressed that it is the 31st chapter of Proverbs is a description of a virtuous woman. The scripture said, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. There is so much in that verse. Like, take it apart a little bit at a time. Openeth her mouth with wisdom. Well, a contrast would be to open your mouth without wisdom, wouldn't it? And the scripture warns us a lot to be careful about our speaking. Some of the things that the Bible says about speaking, guess, actually got dread in them. Many words there wanteth not sin, the scripture said. That means that even if you start out to speak with an innocent heart, but you just turn your tongue loose on both ends, sooner or later, it's going to get you into trouble. To be a person who opens her mouth only in wisdom. Now, that's a challenge, isn't it? Paul spoke about some women who learned to be busybodies, going about from house to house and meddling in things that are really not any of their business. But if you would agree with me that women have perceptions, then men don't. The devil knows that too. And he'd like to take advantage of that to excite their feelings and get them involved in things that really are not best for them to speak about. Not best for their household, not best for themselves, not best for the community, certainly not best to come before the Lord in eternity. So the scripture said concerning a virtuous woman, she openeth her mouth with wisdom. That means considers what she says before she says it. Is careful. I'm glad for the way the Lord made us. We have the capability to make choices about what we say, about nearly everything we do. We really only have two things in life. One of them is the right to choose, and the other is a consequence of what those choices are. If we want to, we can use our choices to build a godly heritage. And there will come a time in life when most of the option to choose are behind us, and we reap in them whatever it is that we chose, whether it was good or evil. So it's best to live in a place where we open our mouths in wisdom. That's quite a scripture, isn't it? She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Law means regulation. It means a precept or a commandment. But this word, law, in this scripture has a little something more in it than we have with our King James Version and our distance, maybe, from the time these people lived in. This is really a reference to the Ten Commandments. In her mouth are the principles, then, that are laid down. Remember, that was the gospel to those people in Solomon's time. There's a link between how a virtuous woman uses her tongue and what's written in the law of the Ten Commandments. Remember how that the first four of the Ten Commandments are the theological commandments? They have to do with the way we're to worship God. And the remaining six have to do with the way that we're handle ourselves toward our fellow human beings. Thou shalt not covet, he said. Covetousness isn't beautiful, whether it's in a man or when it's in a woman. It's just an ugly thing. It's all there is to it. And the scripture is teaching us here, when a woman has, for instance, her young children gathered about her feet, or the walls, the barriers of her own home, and she keeps on the outside of it the passions of covetousness, everybody's better off. But if she brings it inside, the home's a sanctuary. The home is a place where the deepest values get embedded and acted out. If she brings it inside, it's going to bring trouble somewhere along the way. So law, that's a link to the Ten Commandments. In her tongue is the law of kindness. I looked that word up. It means of a friendly, generous, or warm-hearted nature, showing sympathy or understanding, charitable, humane, considerate, forbearing, tolerant, generous, liberal, agreeable, beneficial. The opposite of those things would be unfriendly, covetous, cold, without compassion or understanding. Which home would you rather live in? It's a simple question, isn't it? Certainly we choose the one where kindness prevails. In her tongue is the law. It's regulated. It's not just turned loose. There are rules that govern the tongue of a virtuous woman. And the law is the law of kindness. I'd like to comment about that this way. Ever since I was a little boy, my family have taught me and the community have taught me, the Bible has taught me, some things are too coarse to talk about with the ladies. My mother wouldn't allow us to use certain words and behaviors in the house. Men can get so coarse and, you know, crude, they deal with crude things. But the women are gentle. When you come in the house, it's nice to clean off your muddy boots and straighten up your language. Be careful the way you talk around the ladies, because this is the sanctuary. Our home is our castle. And the scripture commanded the sisters to be keepers at home. That means more than changing the pillowcases. That means you keep the language. That means, let me say it this way. I hate to hear a woman use curse, rough language, don't you? I hate to hear a man do it, but it's a violation either way. But somehow it seems worse when women just careless and rough with their language. Old devils afflicted our nation with that an awfully lot. And small as it seems to be, the truth is that is one of the things that is undermining the destruction of home and family. When the women get crude, when the women are careless about personal things, about things that ought to be kept private and ought to be respected, at the same time they take away decency and morality and innocence. That's no way to raise children. Children need to be taught that we think well of our neighbors. Think the best we can of them. It's not good for a child to have a mother come in, sit down with them, and fill her ears full about how awful the neighbors are. Maybe put a little race prejudice in their hearts, or maybe put a few other things like that about the community or about the president. Mothers should be gentle. In their tongue should be the law of kindness. That's what this scripture is teaching, and it's an important message. I can't preach it well, but I ask your prayers for it, because this is a gospel, and it's an important message, and it's being lost somewhat in our culture today. The Lord wants our sisters to be careful of the things they allow to be spoken in their homes and in their presence. I'll never forget. My wife and I were on a flight one time from New Orleans to somewhere else, maybe back to Oklahoma. It's Mardi Gras time. Mardi Gras is a very wicked time in the city of New Orleans. People turn loose lusts and passions. And there were a group of young men on the plane, some young women too, back in the airplane where we were, and they still were in the Mardi Gras spirit. The flight attendant was another young woman. I don't know what she'd been doing, but she was taken up with the same kind of off-color language and behavior and so forth, just kind of all speaking the same way. I didn't say anything, to my shame, because there was another man sitting right there next to me, maybe a seat back. He was a professional bass fisherman. He was on the tour, touring the circuit. But he stopped that attendant, and he stopped every one of those young men, and he pointed to my wife, and he said, "We've got a lady sitting on this airplane. You don't talk that way around here." And everything just got quiet, and the flight attendant felt reproved, and she started making people behave better. And I thought, you know, I should have said that too. That's the way life ought to be, don't you? That's what this scripture is talking about. And when these things are taken away, we lose something critical and vital out of our homes. The Lord wants women to be sensitive about things that can hurt or damage the home, and He wants the men to be there to reinforce what that is. Sister Sarah Sorrell's mother, I knew her, Sister Francisco, taught her daughters this way. It said, the woman smells a fox coming around the door, but the man kills it. And that's a good way for it to be, isn't it? The women have a sensitivity about that sort of thing. And when they start sounding the alarm, something's going on, men don't feel it that way yet, but they need to listen. When the wife has a law of kindness, when at her spirit, what she's doing is protecting the home, man needs to listen, because she's picking up on things that he probably doesn't see the same way. That's a blessing. God gave us that. The Lord didn't intend the differences in men and women to conflict with each other. They ought to fit together like the pieces of a jigsaw puzzle to make a whole. We need one another. It's the Lord's plan. And it works very well for us. And it works in an individual basis for a husband and wife. It's also good for a congregation, for a community to live that kind of way with each other. I don't know. I see young girls, 12, 14, 16 years old maybe, walking at night on the streets in Neosho. And I don't know where they're going or don't talk to them, of course, but I think to myself, I'm glad we live in a community where they feel safe to do that. I've been places where a young woman wouldn't walk a block unprotected by herself. And I wish our whole nation was such a place that there was such a respect for women that nobody dared to bother them. Just there's something valuable there. and it ought to be shielded. It's the Lord's way. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. The Lord wants us to never use coarse language around women, or to be crude. And I add again the comment that the Lord wants some women to be keepers at home. It means able to perceive things that can bring damage to the home and do something to shield and protect it. Now, I got some scriptures to read you, and they're rough. But they're part of the Bible, and I've prayed about it, and I believe the Lord wants them read here this morning, so I ask your prayers. Proverbs 27 and 15 reads this way. A continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Whosoever hideth her, hideth the wind. Amen. That's talking about somebody that, in trying to get their way, are relentless in the pursuit of it. Women don't usually fight with swords and bows and arrows, but they have a way. And often that way is with words. And a woman can cut you. Now, I'll offer you an example. When I was a boy, my father's sister and her husband came to visit us. They lived far away. I'm free to name them so because they're all in eternity today. We saw them. I think that's the only time I remember them ever visiting our home during my childhood. That far away. And my father knew that this woman was his sister. But we were being friendly with their children, who were our cousins. And my aunt said to my mother, well, we don't want them to be too close because they are second cousins, you know. But we weren't. We were first cousins. And mother didn't know what to say. Just, you couldn't say something like that without thinking it through first. Just a little cat scratch. Just a little indication you're not quite as good as we are, and we don't really want to associate with you very much. And that's been 60 years ago. But it's still got some effect clear down today. Words mean things, folks. Women don't typically fight with swords like men do. But they have a way. If they choose to do that, that's a little bit of what this scripture is talking about. A continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Whosoever hideth her, and this is speaking of the man's role, if you take that place with her, make her yours, put her in your home, you're hiding the whirlwind, you're hiding trouble. Well, let me read you the whole of this scripture in Titus 2 and 4, speaking of the women, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, the meaning of that scripture is that if women do not behave in this way, but they carry a religious profession, people will look at that and say, if that's what salvation is, I don't want anything to do with it. That's what it means, literally. So, this is a command for us not to behave in that fashion. Or let me read another of this in the book of James, the 3rd chapter and the 5th verse. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. But Solomon said, where no wood is, the fire goes out, and where no talebearer is, the strife ceaseth. People who have a peaceable mind can face the most painful, difficult situations and eventually work through them if they have a mind to do it. But if somebody enjoys the trouble and strife of it, you never get it in a place where they won't find something to stir up about it and cause problems again. How great a matter a little fire kindleth. Just a few words spoken at the right place with the right intention, the tongue is a fire, it is a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. It defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. It's not talking about a fire that can burn a building like this. It's talking about the fire that inflames people's passions. One way that folks do that is to say things that are offensive, that are hurtful, that are caustic. Hard to get over those. Folks, I'm trying to get to heaven. I'm in the business of trying to help you get to heaven. I don't do you any favors if I give you some hills to climb. If in order for you to get to heaven, you got to pray through the sharp words that I said to you and find a way to forgive you, I've made your road steeper if I do that to you and you to me. We can't afford it. We're desperate to go to heaven. We got to do whatever it takes to get there. And that means bearing and putting up with things. It means learning the law of kindness in our tongues. Careful in the things that we say. I read you those, that definition again. It means friendly, generous, warm-hearted, showing sympathy or understanding, charitable, humane, forbearing, tolerant, generous, liberal, agreeable, beneficial. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. The tongue is, by contrast, an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Unruly means not submissive or conforming to rule, ungovernable, turbulent, intractable, refractory, and lawless. Just the opposite of what the Lord wants folks to be. Just no law. No law. If I am provoked in this manner, I will say what's in my mind. That's no law. Folks, get in a position of doing that. I mentioned a little bit earlier, one of the blessings that we have from the Lord is the ability to choose. I can choose what I say. I say any of us can. If the person we're tempted to say something to that's hurtful is enough bigger than we are, we find a way to stop it. You know, it's when we think we can get away with it that we are most free to turn our tongues loose. Do you ever get away with it, really? Oh, there's one who numbers all our words. Said we give an account of every idle thing. People say things sometimes and put a little humor with it. That's got an edge. And be careful with that. Because the scripture said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And humor can be used to hurt people deeply. If the heart is innocent, it's not in us to want to make cruel humor. Cruel humor eventually is painful. Look, it's this way. Lord, help us this morning. If I refuse the law of kindness in my tongue, because I say, I am so provoked, it doesn't apply in this case. I've been so offended. I am so attacked. I am so wounded. It's time for me to express myself. You can do that. But the trouble with doing that is you break down the bricks in your wall and you can't regulate where you're going to stop doing it. The trouble isn't really with the other person. It's with me. If I do that, I'm the one who makes the choice of what I say. You're the one who makes the choice of what you say. It's foolish to let somebody else control your tongue. No matter how provoking they may be to you, it's foolish to let somebody else control your tongue. I can go to hell because somebody else is controlling me if I'm not careful. Understand, there is a time to be firm and there is a time to state our position and mean it. And this can be done without violating the law of kindness. It can be done gently. It can be done wisely. It can be done in a manner that contains an invitation. This is where I stand, but there is a way back. If you want to have a relationship with me, it can be done. That's what my mother did with me when I was a child. Violated her law, and she let me know that the law was bigger than I was. Used a belt to do that, too. But she didn't make me think that there was no way back. There were times when I knew what the law was, but I never remember a time when I didn't think my mother loved me. See, that's the law of kindness, and it can be firm. But Lord, help us that we do not allow ourselves to get into a place where someone else's misbehavior controls us. Because if we do, they can destroy our soul. And you can't control. Well, the next time somebody comes along, it'll take less provocation. And you'll find that in spite of whatever's going on around you, that's the kind of person you are on the inside. Can't afford to be that way. Let me read this description again. It means, unruly means not submissive or conforming to rule, ungovernable, turbulent, intractable, refractory, lawless. So, if husbands fight wives and wives fight husbands, why would you be surprised if your children have a hard time forming happy marriages? You've set the stage for it. It's just about inevitable. It's going to be that way. That's not what the Lord wants. He's got something better than us for that. Oh, the scripture here said, the tongue can no man tame. And I believe that, don't you? But I want to tell you a story. The way to contain the tongue is not by the skill or strength of a man. It's by the grace of God. I know I've spoken to you, my friend, before. And I mentioned him this morning. He invariably comes to my mind when I think of these things. A master craftsman, carpenter, taught me a lot of what I learned about the trade. Oklahoma City, 1 million people or more. A lot of carpenters there. But it turned out to be pretty small when it came to finding out who was the most skillful. Because there are certain kinds of equipment that the skillful ones had to have. Couldn't do it any other way. And so it became a common meeting place. It wasn't hard to find out who was buying that kind of equipment. I remember first hearing the legends about him. One man who had him work in his house, he said, that's the best carpenter I ever saw. He said he's at least twice as good as the next best. Well, I attended his funeral. He had a big picture there on the front of his obituary. And it showed him with a smile on his face. And the way I'd seen him many times, he'd just finished building a curved stairway out of wood, built all the parts on the job himself. In my opinion, that's the very epitome of a finished carpenter's skill. So many complicated angles and cuts to make in that. People looked at it and just said it couldn't be done. Most people couldn't do it, wouldn't have a chance. Most of the equipment that he used to build that stairway, he made himself. You couldn't go buy it anywhere. And to make all those little curved pieces out of wood, most people would have no idea how to make a curved piece of wood and then put a pattern on it and make it exactly fit right into place where it had to go. People are going to stand eye to eye with it and look at it. And if there's any flaw in it, it's easy to see it. But he did it. He built the whole thing. And he stood there with his hand on his post and a smile on his face. And everybody at the funeral could look at that and say, man, I wish I could do that. I don't think it's possible. But there he was. And he did it. The scripture that I read to you said, the tongue can no man tame. And it's true. But my message to you is there's a power greater than you and me. By the grace of God, we can find the grace and develop by His grace the skills of mastering our tongue. In all kinds of situations. And it is very satisfying. You know, there are some temptations in life. You can pray down victory over it once and it's over with. I don't know. The devil doesn't tempt me to smoke cigarettes anymore. I can drive by in the front of any tavern that ever is anywhere around. And I never feel like going inside and having any alcohol. Had very little of it in my life. And the part I had didn't taste very good. I got the victory over that. I got the victory over a lot of things, but there are some things that in order to get the victory, you have got to pray every day. Any time that I let down the guard against my tongue, it'll get me in trouble. If I stop in my prayer life for a day or two, it won't be long till I'll be saying something I have to go and pick up. I have to keep a constant barrier against my tongue. There's no single victory that'll win it, however, by being committed and faithful. There is such a thing as building a stairway. Building a life, could I say, a victory. It can be done. I've known some people that have done it. Have you ever known anybody who's done it? Have you? My aunt cared for Brother Ira Stover during the last month of his life. Brother Ira Stover was a very gentle man. I knew him quite well. He was pastor at Guthrie when I lived there for a while. I knew him in later life. He was a very gentle man. He loved to be with the young people. He laughed a lot. But he got sick. People are worse when they get sick. My aunt cared for him during his final illness and even as he was leaving this world. She still has this testimony today. He never spoke a harsh word to me the whole time, no matter how bad he felt. He said we'd come in to care for him, to turn him or to do something with him. And he'd say, now girls, you be kind of careful with me. And that's the most he ever said. It can be done. It can be done. Brother Willie Murphy had some kind of cancer. I visited him about 3 weeks or so before he died. His daughter was there caring for him. His wife was caring for him. Brother Willie's illness affected his mind. But Brother Willie had been a good man throughout his life. He built a good stairway. He prayed down the grace and he used the tools. And he made it fit. When I went to visit him, he beckoned me back into his room and he found a moment when his wife and his daughter were not in the room. And he said, Brother Ed, he said, you know, my wife and my daughter are poisoning me. He said, that's why I'm sick. He said, I believe if I could get some good food, I could get well and get out of here. But they're putting something in my food that's poisoning. He really believed that. Because his mind was affected. But he built such a solid experience of salvation that what was going on the outside of him did not determine what he did on the inside. And they'd bring the food into him at mealtime and he'd thank them for it. And he'd pray over it and thank the Lord for it and eat it right there in front of him. It can be done, folks. There is such a thing as controlling your tongue. Now, he's in eternity. And his children are all still living. They live with the memory of his last hours. Think how different it would have been if he'd have been accusing them all that time and being sharp. It's hard enough to lose somebody in the best of circumstances. It's terrible when you're conflicted. They knew that he thought that. He told them that, and he had a right to tell them that. But they also saw his gentleness. Folks, we can give a gift to one another if we will. The song said, Lord, with thy gentleness I would be great. And it's taken from one of David's Psalms, and it's also in the book of Samuel. The Lord help us to be gentle. It makes us great. It means enlarges us. It makes us bigger than ourselves. It makes us, well, virtuous. This is a virtuous woman of whom these things are spoken. But I've broadened my subject now. I'm not talking just about women. I'm talking about tongues. Psalms 19:14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. We are going to give an account for every idle word. We need the Lord's mercy. We need the Lord's. There are none of us so confident of our salvation that we don't need to come before the Lord every day and say, Lord, help me with my words. One of our songs says something about, you want to be so gentle, from my lips no word be ever heard that would wound a gentle heart or cause a tear of grief to start. And I have a hard time living up to that one because I find out some people cry pretty easy. Be careful. Lord, help us to be a gentle people. Have in our tongues the law of kindness. I say if we will live in this kind of manner, the Lord will build in us a beautiful stairway leading all the way to heaven, safe to walk on. Oh, do you remember what he said about his people? The sucking child, the little infant would play on the holes where the rattlesnakes live. And the wolf and the lamb would lie down, lion and the lamb would lie down together. And the wolf, the people have a disposition to bite or hurt one another, can be so gentle by the Spirit of God that it's safe for the fast ones and the slow ones, the stubborn ones, and the unsteady ones, all to live in the same congregation together, respect and love and appreciate one another, leaven into one another, It's a beautiful picture, the way the Lord intended it to be. If we'll do so, His blessings will rest on us. Thank you once again for the courtesy of your attention. May the Lord bless us all. Amen.